We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We work for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell. We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We work for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gav. This is the Fatback Four. My voice is completely gone, so I'm gonna do my best. All the lads are here for the final Fatback Four of the season.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt's delighted. Liverpool 1, Real Madrid 3 in the Champions League final, and a disappointing night and a disappointing result. That ended to a season that's been overall has been brilliant. Ian, I'll come to you first. Itself, the only thing around Real Madrid was Bale or Benzema. He goes with Benzema. And we start all right, don't we? We get on top of them, we're winning ball. Things look good for the first 15, 20 anyway.
I think we're a better side. We had our first or our strongest 11 pitch when Salah was on. I think it was just a matter of time before we got in behind them and scored. I was talking to anyone who'd listen. We're better than this, because I genuinely do think we are. Like, but it just highlighted the fact that we've got no one of like Salah's like ability or to come off the bench for such an occasion. Do you know what I mean? When we needed it, so devastating, really.
Well, it was. I'm hoping you'll speak for a bit longer than that, so I don't have to speak at all. Matt. On the assumption that you remember mostly yesterday. But the first 20, and right up to that Salah injury, Liverpool are playing really well. They're high up the pitch. They're pushing Real Madrid back. And the one chance I remember is Trent Alexander-Arnold with a good strike and the keeper makes a good save. But when you see 20, were you growing confident all the time? You know, from what you'd see in the first 20, that, yeah, you know what, we can really, really get at this.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. If that game carries on without the injury, we're going to win that. I'm fairly certain of that. They wouldn't have played anyone in La Liga. We pressed them that high. We weren't scared of them. And we just got at them. They're not used to that. And we had their number. I was saying from the beginning, I think it'll be something out of our control that'll win this game. At the end of the day, it was an injury to Salah. And it just completely changed. By bringing Lallana on, make us drop off so much, and but everyone's head, it was more of a psychological drop than anything, and everyone's head just went, and that was it. We just lost it from there. Game was lost.
Yeah, great. I'll give you a full shout on this Salah injury. A lot of things are going around saying that he does it on purpose. He drags him down in a way. Looking back on it, I think he just foot to the ball, but I actually think Ramos believes that Salah is getting away from him and drags his arm to try to stop him. I think a free kick was given. Point in the game, isn't it?
The way. Can you believe that it was actually given the other way? The actual free kick was given the other way. In my mind, no doubt Ramos meant it. And the reason why I say that is it's like a judo move, isn't it? That was quite an impressive judo move by that wanker fucking Ramos. He actually applies pressure, and that's where the intent is. He's got his right arm locked, and it's the other shoulder that's the injured one, isn't it? Am I right? So it's the other shoulders that's damaged, or the other collarbone or shoulder, whatever. And for a person to roll over, and there's no the sheer velocity that he slammed him down is what caused the damage, and that's where the intent is, because the lock's not got him on the floor and then slams him over on it and puts weight on it. That's where the damage is caused. The ball was gone. The ball was at least 10 yards away. I don't think he was. He's exactly what everyone's described him. He is exactly that. But would we want like that on our side? Yes, we would. He's an elite winner. He's an elite snide. He's everything where everyone's described him. And, you know, get all the premeditated stuff. You know, people are coming out with he fucking went out to injure him. He didn't go out to sort of fucking injure him. But if he to injure him, then Ramos is taking it, mate.
He's laughing as Salah's going off crying.
Being honest, because when so, Salah's going off...
I'm believing it anyway.
Like, when Salah's going off, Ramos is near the touchline, and that picture is meant to be Ramos standing back in the box. Look, we change and we go with Lallana. But for me, Lallana plays and he shouldn't be playing in one of those front three spots. Madrid,
yeah, we should have moved to the diamond, I thought.
Yeah, I'd agree. Straight to the diamond to put Manny up front with Firmino. Firmino gets more and more out of the game without the two lads beside him. But we get the half-time, lads. We get to nil all and we're thinking, right, we'll shake this up. And then the second half starts. Ian, I'll let you run me through how you see in this first goal. Because for me, it's my...
Did you go in 0-0?
Yeah, we went in 0-0, Matt.
Yeah.
I saw, because I was a bit, I was about 38 drinks in by this point, but I remember Karius collecting the ball, and then I turned around, I don't know if it was to Matt or someone to say something, and then I looked back and the ball was just rolling in the net, and I was like, what the fuck's just happened? You know what I mean? There was not, I just couldn't get my head around it, and when I watched it back, I was like, honestly, of all the games to do it, do you know what I mean? Like, the second goal that he concedes is horrific, but it happens, you know what I mean? But I've never seen a goal like that first one. It in all the games to do it in, oh, man, it's just fucking... I mean, I don't like to lambast the lad, you know what I mean? Because he's going to be having a bad couple of months now. But I have been saying for a while, he's got it in him to make a howler, and it's going to cost us at some point. I have been saying it, and I just hate that it was this game that it happened, you know what I mean? I think Klopp's right. I think the second one is almost an effect of the first one because his head's gone completely. But he come very close to doing the exact same thing against Roma, exact same thing. So there's no doubt that he's got ability and he's talented, but he's got some real glaring flaws in his game. I don't understand how he's got... like to the level he has without being able to correct certain flaws in his game. He's usually very good with the ball in his hands, proactive with the throws and stuff like that, and he likes to get his moving, do you know what I mean? So I'm all for that, but just don't know what the fuck was going through his mind when he'd done it. I don't even know who scored. Was it Benzema? It's going off Benzema.
For me, like, the ball's played through, Benzema is offside, and originally I thought he was throwing the ball out for a free kick to be taken. I thought the flag had gone up. Benzema was offside 10 yards forward or back and he's thrown the ball, you know, to give it to whoever's...
To take it, yeah.
And then it hits Benzema and goes in. And I'm kind of going, he's offside. And people around me were going, no flag. He actually, that's the next phase of play. He throws it against Benzema and into the... And for me, I suppose looking back on it, even if it doesn't hit Benzema, it's a ridiculous fucking throw to be doing anyway. He has a player out to his right. If he actually turns his body to his left, Robertson is in acres of space. It's mental. But Matt, that for 50, what was it? Was it 52 minutes? I think that went in. And I remember that's going to be good on the lads because three of us drank way too much yesterday. But Matt, goal down. Okay, fair enough. Go a goal down like that. I think he's shown incredible mental strength to come back into it very, very quickly.
You're on mute, Matt.
There we go.
Enjoying that, Ian.
I made a brilliant point as well, but I can't. But, it was great to come back. It was exactly what was needed. But the most important part is what came after that when we didn't kick on, and that's what we needed to do. That goal should have said to us, these ain't shit, we can get these. But again, we were better to norm and let the pressure. It was just what lost this game, wasn't it? But when did we score the game? The goal after theirs? Straight away.
55 minutes, yeah. I think it's only 3 minutes after they score.
Mane, wasn't it?
Yeah. Jesus, you must have been really bad.
He was.
Yeah.
Liverpool versus Madrid, it was.
But, Chris.
Not as bad as you may see, Greg.
The goal is a corner comes in, Lovren wins the header and Mane is there to tap it in, and when it goes in, I'm thinking, you know what, brilliant. We've made a mistake, but we're back in it now. Everything's even again. Let's go. And then Gareth Bale goes and does that. How good a goal is that, Chris?
It's on a level and a par with probably Zidane's, or some would say it's better than Zidane's.
Yeah, I'd say it's well better.
Yeah.
I'd say it's the best goal that's ever been in a Champions League final.
And, you know, it happens against us. That's the second goal. The first goal is freaky enough as it is. I actually, Gav, you probably don't remember now, but on the way when you picked me up from the airport, true story, lads, I said to him, Karius, I'm worried about Karius today. I said, in my dream, Karius costs us that game. I should have fucking played the lottery as well with the numbers after my dream. But look, I think we didn't kick on after we equalized. I still believe we hadn't recovered fully as a team from the shock of that first goal and the Salah incident. Because you've got to remember, they've seen their talisman, our best player of the season, who sort of got out of so much shit, crying off that pitch. And yes, Jürgen's got them in at half-time, and I'm sure it must have been an emotional half-time sort of speech saying, look, you know, let's do it for Mo and et cetera, et cetera. But it comes back to, I don't think we've got any inspirational leaders of the Steven Gerrard type that would have made a rallying call to bring us back in. It's not the time to sort of, you know, pick holes and sort of leadership qualities and captaincy issues and et cetera, et cetera. But I do feel there's an issue there, and I do feel yesterday in these kind of big game type scenarios, you do need that in your team, someone to stand out, you know, and actually rally the team on. We showed great spirit. I mean, the spirit we showed to come back into it and score from that. I think Lovren wins the header, doesn't he? Yep. Lovren wins the header. Mane slides it in. In my opinion, from the moment Salah went off, we stopped playing football. And that was my only gripe. We played far too many balls in the channels. Trent and Robertson, I don't know why, what happened, but we were playing the type of football we were playing against Roma without Madrid pushing up. Madrid went up 20 yards after Salah went off. And we should have adjusted accordingly, but we just didn't. We just didn't.
We went, Ian, we went a bit into survival mode, didn't we? As soon as Salah goes off, that 15 minutes or whatever, excuse me, we go into survival mode and we are literally, you know, hoping and praying for halftime.
Yeah. It enabled Marcelo, like Chris just said there, it enabled Marcelo to start pushing right up the pitch.
Yeah.
And then later on, I think we missed the trick because when Nacho come on at right back, he's a centre-half. So I think we should have just put Mane out on the right and just pushed him right up and pinned Marcelo back. Do you know what I mean? But they did go into a bit of survival mode. But I mean, I think Chris is a bit harsh there on the leadership thing. I think in the biggest game of your careers, to have a goal against us, that first goal, and then still come back and respond to that, it shows brilliant mentality. And I don't think there was an issue with the leadership. But then they score, we can see the second goal, which is fucking out of this world. And then the third goal, it's two massive howlers and a world-class strike. I don't think, I know it's an obvious statement, but goal, like, such incidents decide games, do you know what I mean? It wasn't, I don't think the game was ever, we were ever outplayed or, I mean, we didn't play our natural game because we lost our most potent weapon. That's obvious. But at no point did they ever think we're getting played off the park here. We're not doing enough here. It was just individual incidents that were just freaky as fuck. But so I wouldn't blame any sort of leadership or mentality or anything like that. The mentality of the keeper, but not of the outfield players. I think they done what they could with what they had available to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think any of them had a bad game. I thought the back four were brilliant.
Yeah, I thought they were as well. I thought they were outstanding.
Mane was great.
I thought the midfield walked very hard, but didn't do an awful lot to get enough service to Firmino to get up beside him. I did think that.
Yeah.
No, Ian, can I just say, can I respond to Ian? Ian's point. What I meant, sorry, I agree with what you said, actually. What I meant to say, maybe I didn't come across properly, was we didn't have an inspirational leader in terms of a performance. I mean, Mane, yeah, actually, to be honest with you, Mane was quite inspirational. He tried. The attitude was right. You're right. We did recover. We showed, you know, great sort of powers of recovery. We just needed, I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking about Istanbul too much, and we just needed sort of an inspirational type figure in terms of the playing side of things, sort of just to lift us. Like, look, Mo's gone off. Let's do the, you know, let's raise our game. I don't think we were still in survival mode, in just my opinion.
Yeah.
We retreated.
You see, I think what happens as well is that when, like, as much of an effect it has on us, I think it has an effect on them as well. Matt, let's have a look through some of the players. We've touched on Tardius for obvious reasons, but and Mane, who else stood out for you?
Oh, that tackle by Robbo on Ronaldo. He's going to be a legend forever. It was made up for him. He had a brilliant game. As Chris said, the midfield worked well off the ball, but they didn't do anything on the ball. No one stepped up. No one grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. If none of that. I know they're just sound bites, like, but people do need to literally do that. And not one of them did, I don't think. But yeah, Mane and back four for me.
Yeah, Mane and back four for me as well, I think. Ian, is there anybody else outside of that? What did you think of the midfielding?
It's the same that I've thought of them all season, mate. They're all functional. None of them are world class, so they're all functional. And they're all very like for like. Oh, that midfield three.
Put a double box.
You what? Yeah, I was just about to say. Ox is the one who offers something different, or maybe even Lallana when he's proper fit. Do you know what I mean? But they're all just functional. It's easily addressed, and it will be addressed in the summer, because we've already got one player coming in who's top draw. But bear in mind, mate, they're up against Isco, Modric, Cruz, Casemiro. Do you know what I mean? The first three of those are world-class technicians. Do you know what I mean? World-class. And they held their own. They didn't at any point impart their game on Madrid. You know what I mean? We weren't dominating. I thought Gini showed real signs of progress in the six. I think he's really coming on. But they just are what they are. I give you credit from the week when I was having a go. Ian, you were going on about fucking not spending the Coutinho money and all that. It just shows when you look at the bench. And when Salah goes off, if we could have brought on, I don't know, a Sahar or a Bailey or someone like that, then I don't think the game changes much, because it's like for like pace right up the pitch. But we have to change. I thought it was a strange substitution. Do you know what I mean? Our first 11 is top draw, but then it drops off a cliff, especially with the injuries we've got.
I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, lads, but do you know what I thought at the time of the substitution? I know Lallana came on, and we could have changed it to match them up in terms of the formation they were playing, in terms of a triangle, which probably would have suited Lallana far more than this bloody role in the top three, in the front three. But what I was thinking was, do you think there was a possibility of bringing in Klein?
Yeah.
And then just keeping Trent.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because... Yeah. We had Madrid. Madrid were playing deep. Madrid were not playing a high line when Salah was on that pitch, and it was visible to me. We were, with Trent's pace and Mane's pace, we still would have had them playing that system, I think.
I'll get pelters for this, but if you're going to keep the formation, I would put Moreno up there.
I knew you were going to say Moreno. No chance, man. I knew you were going to say Moreno.
Just the pace.
I know where he's coming from, and it is pace. And you see, we're talking about...
Well, that just means that there's two Bellends on the podcast then.
But no, I know what he's saying with regards to pace, and the shout for Trent to go further up is also, again, pace.
It just puts doubt in the mind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to think.
Ian, we're talking about these midfielders being functional. Do that midfield need those three lads up front playing so they can function? Because they function within that system, and when we lose one of these, our functionality disappears.
Yeah. I think our midfield three, their deficiencies are masked by how good our front three are. So we get away with only having like a 7 out of 10 midfield because we've got a 9.5 out of 10 attack. So if you take out one of the facets of the front three, then it becomes more apparent that the midfield three are never going to grab a game by the scruff of the neck. They're never going to win you the game. They're not going to score a 30-yarder. That front three, that midfield three anyway. So I think we get away with it a bit with our front three. Like I say, it will be addressed in the summer. It's just fucking devastating. I mean, how long do you wait for the Champions League final?
Are we criticising our midfield three? We're saying
criticising them, Grays. What I'm saying is that the way they function is perfectly set up.
Yeah,
your voice, Gav. That's
it functions perfectly in a team with those players, but when you change it around, you forget it; it just disappears.
Yeah, and I think what I was going to say is, look, despite all that, for the first 20 minutes, as Ian says, we were by far the better team. And as good as Modric was, because Modric yesterday, I've seen the game back, right? And Modric's performance was fucking amazing.
Did you watch it back?
Yeah, I watched it back. He was ridiculously good, Modric. And we didn't notice it because we were concentrating on us and Salah and everything. But we weren't outplayed. That's the thing. That's what bugs us. That was the most Liverpool way of losing you can possibly, where it was a sequence of events that are just so unreal. As Ian says, the first one is, Ian, you thought that he's rolling out someone. I thought, because I turned around as well, and I thought someone's kicked it out of his hand. So I thought, the refs blow up now, because someone must have kicked it out of his hand. You know when they pick, when they throw it in the air? It's surreal. The second goal, as you said, it's an Emre Can goal, isn't it? It's one in a million. You try that on the training ground again and again, you won't do that in about 200 attempts. And the third one, his head's gone. He's completely gone. There's no way he was recovering after that. So it's a sequence of events that are just so hard to take. If we were outplayed and just ripped to shreds, and because 3-1 is flattering for them, in my opinion. It's just a sequence of events is hard to take. It's really hard to take, even though they are a great team. They've won it third time in a row. But they didn't have to work hard for that. And that's the mad, mad bit.
I think as good as Modric was, I don't think he was anywhere in the game in the first 25. I genuinely believe that.
I agree.
I think he was nowhere to be seen. I think Casemiro didn't know whether to go with players or just protect their back four. Shay Given was at our event last night, and he says that for the third one, he reckons Carey has changed his mind. He's going to punch it. The shot, and he changes his mind halfway in and decides to catch, and then does neither. But the game is lost. Look, it's a bad way to lose a game, especially when you consider two balls were thrown in the net, and we lost 3-1. I think that's the worst bit about it. I just want to ask you, though, does this have a mega effect on this squad? Or do you think they take it, they learn from it, they move on? Squad, manager, everybody in the club. Matt, did he push on from here, or did the manner of the defeat, could it have a bad effect on us?
If it was any other manager, maybe because it's Klopp, they'll use this and they'll push on. With Klopp, we're just at the start here. He's building a very special team. And players, they kind of need that hurt. They don't want it again, so we can use that as a team talk whenever there's another big game coming up. But yeah, it's hard to take, but looking for the good, we are at the start of something special. We got to a Champions League final we had no right to get to. We were smashing teams off the park, and we were underrated the whole way. I'm not worried about this going on in the future.
Okay. Ian, for you, do you feel the same? A cancelled flight. And when he got there, he was grand. There wasn't a bother on him, not the rest of us. But, Grace, where do you feel we go from here? Do you think we take this and we learn from it and we go again? Or do you think the scars of this could wear on beyond the summer?
Nah, I don't. I think we go on. I'm very, very positive. Before the game, I was telling you guys, I won't be devilled if we lose this. Yes, I'll be upset, but we've had a smashing campaign. And our league form only dropped off because of this amazing Champions League campaign. So people that say, oh, we finished below Spurs and United are a bit stupid because we finished below them because of this amazing Champions League campaign. Look, you're talking about players and how we go from here. I'm with Ian, and I think we've agreed. You know, even though Karius was getting plaudits and he was doing better, we always said he's doing better, but I've never been convinced by him, and I've maintained that from the start. It's going to be very difficult for him to come back from this. If he does, amazing. It's all credit to him. But look, from the human side of things, I felt for him. That was grim. At the end, when you have to go over to your fans and he's out of it, he was proper bawling his eyes out. You know, that shouldn't happen to any player. And if anyone's abusing him and atting him in sort of social media, then they're just fucking twats. But from a professional's point of view, as Ian says, that is sort of the pinnacle of your career when you're a Champions League and you've literally thrown two goals, you know, into your own net. Man, I don't know. I can't see him coming back from there, man. From a professional, but from a human side of the view, I hope he does, man. You know, no one should ever have to go through that kind of sort of adversity. But you're talking about positives. There is positives, man. As you guys said, Robbo and Trent, the experience. I know Ian's right about in terms of winning is an experience and it's a habit, but even playing at the highest level against the best opposition in the world at that level, at that age, sorry, it's a tremendous experience. And another shout-out that I need to... I know Mane was superb. And the midfield, we've been a bit meh about. They were meh. But Lovren, again, showed what he's capable of when his fucking head's screwed on and he doesn't sort of make his, digs the errors. I thought he was... I think the back four was superb. There wasn't a mistake in them. And that's the fucking frustrating thing about it, how we managed to lose when none of our back four made an error. It's fucking hard to take, man.
It is.
Trent Alexander is 19, and he was world-class. There's one really nice bit in the, I think it's, I can't remember what half it is.
The first, Marcelo gives him a pass.
Marcelo tries to go around him. And Trent just deals with him like an expert. And as he's run back, Marcelo gives him a high five. That's probably the best left back in the world.
Absolutely.
One of the best full backs of the last 30 years. Do you know what I mean? That is huge. That just shows the respect. And he wouldn't just give that to anyone. He's a top, top talent, Trent. He's going places, man, really. Our full backs are boxed off for the next 10 years.
Yeah,
we are so close. We are so close. It's fucking... frustrating.
I think I showed last night that we definitely do need more players for the squad because, you know, we're all talking about Salah going off and then our whole game changes. We shouldn't allow that. We have to get to a stage where if a player goes off, we have somebody to replace him. Riz, tell us about your couple of days in Dublin.
It was amazing.
How was the open top bus?
You what?
How was the open top bus?
No, I didn't do it. We didn't have time.
He looks like he's fucking doubled in Dublin, the fucking big cunt. Look at the size of
it. I tell you what, though, the food was... No, I'll tell you why we didn't do the open top bus, because the food was fucking amazing. The lads told us about a place. Oh, man, the food. I was in my element. I showed you pics, didn't I? Shared you pics. But I'll tell you what, lovely occasion. Gav was, as usual, the hostess with the mostess. Top, top lads, the rest of them. Shout out to the rest of them. Phil actually picked us up from the hotel to the actual where the gig was. And, you know, I wish I could have brought some, you know, lucky cockney luck. But just unfortunately, the result dampened it a bit, but yeah, an amazing, amazing time, man. And the Irish lads were absolute brilliant. I really felt, do you know what, on the way back, I swear, normally, right, you're coming back from a train or a transport in London, East London, at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's not a pleasant place. You see all sorts of weirdos. But in Dublin, I'm not joking, there was kids and families on the tram. Tram was full, and it felt like it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was so safe. I mean, I don't know stats-wise what's the crime rate like in Ireland, but I'll tell you what, it fucking felt like a safe thing, man.
Where are you going?
Matt, crime rates in Dublin?
Matt must have stats for the crime rates in Dublin.
I'll get it for you.
Has it gone up 35% since all the French moved out?
There's a 35% drop-off, yeah.
Now, by lovely, amazing time, man. Brilliant. Yeah. Peter, about yourself.
It was a good day. That's all I'm saying on it. Then Matt, you was met up and watched the game together. Ian, how did you get on? Because I know you've had had an argument with the Mersey Tunnel. Go on.
I had a laugh, me mate. There was me, my mate, and Matt. More of an acquaintance.
But my mate and Matt.
Yeah. But my mate was wrote off. He was like knocked it about 2 hours before the game, was throwing up everywhere. He was ripped all his short, he had his arse out and everything. He was a mess.
He was just sitting clambered over the wall behind us, just throwing up, everyone's taking pictures of him. Me and Ian was just cracking on.
Yeah, that'll go viral, that. But we went to, there's a nice restaurant in Liverpool called Matu, and that's where we met that fucking middle-class prick. Whereas me and my mate go to Mackey's and all that, but he was like, I'm in Matu having hors d'oeuvres or something, so we had to go meet him. But my mate knows everyone in all the bars because he's like a concierge for a big hotel. And he went, I know all the staff in Matu. So we got in there and he goes, do you want a drink? And I went, Are you paying for these? Or are you getting them for nothing? He goes, I don't pay for drinks in here. And I went, well, I'll have a treble gin then, please. He fucking got, he was just getting massive drinks. Like, if he was paying, I'd have got half a lager, probably. But on the way home, I think me and Matt were out till about, I want to say half three, four, I don't really know. And then he swerved on me, couldn't find him. My phone was dead. His phone was dead. And then I just start walking home. Now, bear in mind that I work in the city pretty much in my taxi every single day. So I should know the way home, you know what I mean? And I was walking for what seemed like 38 hours. And I walked into the Mersey Tunnel, like just right down. And I just couldn't get my head around how I got there. So I was like, you don't. And it's all downhill. So I had to walk all the way back uphill to come out of it. It's like, you dopey cunt. Walked about a mile in the opposite direction. And then turned round and done it again. Went back to the fucking Mersey Tunnel again. I was like, I'm having a stroke here. I was as close to crying as I've ever been. I was just fucking, it was a nightmare. And I got home, I went to Mackey's, and I've just been on the verge of dying all day.
Matt, how was your day?
Yeah, same as that.
As if he fucking remembers his day.
Yeah, we put quite a lot back. Like it was messy. As I was saying, I went to the bus. My phone went dead, and I thought it was about 11. So I went and sat in the bus stop for an hour, waiting for my bus, fucking cursing because the 472 wasn't turning up. It was 3:30 in the morning, and I was like, fuck, my phone was dead, so I couldn't call me a middle class Uber. So I had to go try and hunt down a taxi somehow. I don't know how I got home. I haven't phone.
All right, that was him. I think, despite the result, I think Liverpool fans out there had a good day. And let's just hope that there's more to come, more good days to come. I hope this squad sticks together and gets added to and gets this out of our system quickly.
It will, guys. You know what it is? The things that we've discussed, like in terms of the flaws, like Ian said, that the midfield's functional. The amazing thing about our manager is he's recognised that. And the names that we've been linked with resolve those issues. So we've got Keita, who resolves the issue with, in terms of we're getting someone who's world class already in terms of dictating a game and taking the game by the scruff of the neck. We've got it. So with coming back as well, you got to remember And I think we've touched on it, but Ox was a massive, massive loss in that final. Massive loss. He was. Honestly, especially in terms of pressing, like Modric wouldn't have had the fucking ride he had if Ox
was
on that.
We had no link from midfield. We had no link.
And I thought Lallana would provide that if he played in the middle, but he didn't. So look.
Yeah, did you see? See the? I know we're all heartbroken, but did you see the pictures of Ox after the game on his crutches, sobbing?
I couldn't take them. I couldn't take those pictures. Image of Ox, Salah, and Karius crying. I mean, it's horrible. But you know, I think you know we talk about watershed moments, and we talked about the defeat to Spurs. I think this is another watershed moment. It really is. I think for Klopp. In terms of, he takes us to that next, because after Seville, we win a game. And everyone thought, we had that season where everyone thought, they've been a brilliant Premier League because they're not European football. But then we had European football this year. We've smashed it, got all the way to the final and the top four. I really think we go again. We're very, very close.
Yeah.
And it's not, and we're not going back. No, but Matt, do you know what it is? Normally when we're close and we're worried about, are we going to make those signings that's going to push us on? We're all quite chilled and realize, you know, what the players is doing to go forward again.
I think it's because the club is in a new stand, another one on the way. We know the players that we're bringing in, the calibre is, and I don't think anything.
Just bad signing.
Absolutely none. Yeah, there's no bad signings. So I have absolute trust in Klopp and the recruitment team and the business side of everything. I think the club's in a very good place. Whereas, after 30, for example,
it was rocky. Yeah,
we're getting people in. Man, trust it. We need four players to kick on. I think. So we need a keeper. I've said all along. We need a centre back. Midfield.
You haven't said that, Matt.
No, he hasn't. He knows he hasn't. Well, that's why he said that he's a dickhead. He's a dickhead.
Yeah. Right, and we need a winger. Four quality players who are pushing for first team. That's what we need.
And we're good to go. We're good to go. Lovren, I would sacrifice if the funds didn't allow us to get a top, like Ian says, like a Alisson, 60 million or whatever. Funds didn't allow us to get another. I would rather get a world class goalkeeper than a world class centre back. If that makes sense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we worked it out.
You're going all out for keeper, lads. I can't talk much more. Being honest with you,
give us a song.
Gav, when we scored, Gav fucking went on a singing spree. He sang every Liverpool song for about 30 minutes, non-stop. He was that fucked out of it. And then when we lost at the end, there is no one. I never knew what Napoleon's like, right, as a person. But if I could take a guess, it would have been like Gav, right? Because Gav was fucking angry. Gav was going, at once I was going to throw Shay Given off the... He was that mad. Because Shay Given was trying to make excuses. Not excuses, but he's trying to... You know how keepers try to defend their fellow keepers? And he was like, tell me about Darius.
I've heard that Gav got that excited. He jumped that high. He almost got a fire.
And I went to me. Do you know what I hit my head off? There was a pool table upstairs, right? And they were at the renew. And you know the green kind of lights that come out of the ceiling and go over the pool table?
Yeah.
I hit my head off then.
Gav's been angry all year.
No, I think at one stage, I think Phil Casey Collins was going to absolutely punch his head in.
Anyone tell me about Karius. No one speak about Karius.
When I cheered the goal, I just turned around to Phil and threw an absolute volley of abuse on him. Will everybody else celebrate, but that's the way it goes. Lads, anything else you want to talk about before we go?
I would like to say that it's a common misconception that Napoleon was small. He wasn't. He was the nationalist at the time. I'm here to wit as well as entertain. Okay, so go on, move on.
He's
about 5'7", but they were all average, 5'8", something like that.
Small.
So, now, yeah, but then, no.
Anything else?
Oh, thanks for that, Ian.
Have you any other experience before we go?
Good, man. Listen, it was a disappointing result, but the journey's, you know, players of the caliber of Mo and Mane and that are not going anywhere. We've got no stars to sort of one of us. We've got the greatest manager we could possibly have at this stage. He knows what he's got his targets in mind in terms of not only players but sort of where we want to take this club. It's good, man. Yesterday we played a team, Real Madrid, who won it for the third time in a row. I never made us favourites. Yes, we got a bit hyped up and said we could do this. Of course we could do this, but I never thought that, you know, it's a foregone. That was the set of sequence of events that made us lose that, and I take hold of that.
I don't know what's going on in the background there. Matt, I need to go far now.
Yeah, similar to Grizz, really. It's been one of my favourite seasons I can remember. The football we've played, the team, it's been absolutely sensational. And I'm seeing this as a start of something and not the end. So, up the fucking Reds.
Okay, let me just try to slap it.
Just still drinking. I'm having a nightmare here, Dems. I almost died halfway through the podcast.
I'm literally dead. I genuinely am. Last legs here. But look, that's it. That's the last fatback for the season.
The last fatback for?
We're probably going to take a break. We probably do some
for you, yes. Stuff. You're getting fucked up, tell you, get out.
Doesn't anyone want to know my opinion on the season? No?
No.
No.
I asked you, had you anything else to say, and you said no.
Yeah,
no,
you wasted it on Napoleon.
Yeah, you've had your show.
I'm going to another more listeners, active people.
Yeah, okay. Just one shot back for the start of argument.
Yeah. Tit up.
That's it. That's the flatback for. We'll be back with you soon. We won't be back every week during the summer, but we'll be back doing different bits and pieces over the summer. I hope you enjoyed the season with us. And, yeah, as Matt says, up the Reds.